Boom. That is us. So I hope you are good and welcome back to another episode of the Muscle Hustle Podcast. It is nearly 4 full fucking years.
Nearly
So
four.
that is a lot of hours that I have spent. I'm not gonna say wasted. I'm not gonna say I'm gonna say invested and spent. Do you know what though? It's a bit like therapy for us, though. It's nice to sort of recap ideas, and I think it's something that's not done enough in a space where if you do spend a lot of time with another individual like me and Mickey do with each other now once a week, it's nice because you get an update, you get a catch up, but you also get to sometimes you don't understand a concept enough or anything until you speak about it and you sit and ponder. And it's something that we've got quite good at in terms of not pattering back, but we go away when maybe think of a topic, but a lot of the time it's just sort of what we think works. And then as I talk through it, you sort of figure it out more and more. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but when you spend time doing that, it makes a massive difference to your overall like level of not authenticity, but your overall level of development around the subject, because you have to sit and actually have to fucking think about it on the spot. But we have a range of topics, a range of everything here, Q&A. So I think this will be a bit banger. Anybody that's watching YouTube will notice I am in Texas, sitting on my bed, cushy pillows, hard to beat. Mickey's decided to blur the background. But yeah, look, we will dive in. Mickey, did you have a reference over anything or
No, well, we were just as everybody knows,
plan?
we don't really plan stuff too much, but we do have some good topics that we're going to start rattling out over the next few weeks because we did actually plan a while ago, actually. But one of the big ones, that was hidden for it was actually a question a while ago that we missed, and we apologize for missing, apologies for missing questions, but we do actually miss them a lot. But one of the big ones that caught my eye was people were talking about productivity and falling into that whole, procrastinating. Procrastinating seems to be a cool thing now that people kind of almost, I don't know, applaud sometimes. So, question we were hit was, any tips to boost productivity over procrastination? But I was thinking when I seen it earlier, I was like, well, this one's a definitely a 20 thing because anybody that knows me and knows me lately, I am a bit of a procrastinator at the best of times where I have to be very strict with myself not to be, whereas 20's probably the opposite of that now.
Yeah, it depends. I feel like you need to firstly detach yourself from the idea that you are a procrastinator. And I touched on this probably about 100 episodes ago. If anybody sees, there's an 8-minute hustle on we done when we were doing 8-minute podcasts. I called it the productivity pandemic. The reason I called it this is because a lot of people are attaching their self-worth to their productivity. So I would have been really guilty of this. Like, if you have an unproductive day, you almost beat yourself up. Or you give yourself, like, a really good example is like anybody that plans their days but gives themselves doesn't plan their days but gives themselves these massive to-do lists. You're never going to get everything done on the to-do list because it's not time organized, and usually put in tasks upon tasks upon tasks. Like, and the problem is you can't get it all done, and you don't put in tasks that are the normality stuff of life. Like, people don't put in shopping for food or simple things like their commutes or they're getting showered. I know that sounds stupid, but whenever you don't actually cop time for these, you end up being like, well, why am I chasing my tail? And procrastination is a massive factor. Like, usually 9 times out of 10, if a client of mine's struggling to do cardio or steps, I'd be like, send me your screen time, and I'll never get it because that's usually where it goes 9 times out of 10. So there's multiple ways to do this. Firstly, you have to break down the barrier and the thought process around it. So firstly, am I attaching my self-worth to how much work I'm getting done on a day-by-day basis? And if it is that, then you have to start a really baseline this, because what happens is if you become really, really efficient with your time, like I have, and you base your self-worth off your effectiveness to complete tasks, what you'll notice is over time you may become more efficient, but your task list will just become bigger because you fit more in. So, like, instead of doing 8 tasks in a day, you'll start doing 11. You'll keep adding until you fail, because we're made to try and always do more. And I think resetting yourself and giving yourself time limits for most tasks is really, really key. So, look, I am gonna work for an hour, then I'm gonna take a 20-minute break, then I'm only gonna do X for this time. I'm gonna read this time. So I feel like for procrastination to really manifest, you have to be careful, because you when you don't have time, you end up procrastinate without realizing it because you don't have deadlines. It's like anybody trying to do homework or coursework or uni work, if you don't have a clear deadline, you'll leave it to the night before. So knowing you've only got an hour to write X, or you've only got an hour and a half to go to the gym, train, shower, you will be more on the money. It's not about pressuring yourself, it's just to make things a bit more seamless. Otherwise, you'll take extra rest time, you'll fuck about, but people don't take into consideration that. In terms of procrastination, the first things I'll always say is don't pin yourself worth it, and watch you don't fall into the procrastination cycle. So what I call this is, I say this all the time to coaches I mentor, and it's like, right, so we start off with a massive, so if you imagine a triangle or a circle, at the top of it we have like loads of hard work, and what happens is we work really hard, but then we end up procrastinating at some stage, right? And this is the bottom right of the triangle, so it goes hard work, procrastination, and break is the far left. The problem is people don't take the break. They do hard work, then they start procrastinating when they should take a break to get back into the hard work. And the problem is, if you're not breaking continuously, what happens is you end up working hard, procrastinating, then you feel guilty and go back into hard work without the real break. Like, I know so many people, and we're all guilty of this, where during your downtime from whatever job you're doing, whatever work you're doing, you're scrolling. That's not really a recalibration of mindset. If anything, it doesn't really help you. Like, a break is like taking a 5 to 10 minute walk. And the problem is, as soon as people are done work or they're doing work, they start scrolling, and then they don't take a proper break, and they're back into work. So you end up with this like mid workflow, and then you don't really get a break. You don't really get the full work done, but you end up doing loads of shitty things as well.
It's the same as like going to bed at night. You're like, I went to bed at 10, but then you may sit on your phone scrolling for 2 hours. So you didn't really go to bed at 10. You went to the place where you lie down at 10, but then you sat watching content or as we're like procrastinating and messing about. As Tony said, if you take a break, say you're studying, you take a break. And you think your break is scrolling on your phone or whatever you're doing, that's not really a break because you're still activating your brain loads and you're still in a mode of taking in information. Whereas a break for me would probably, if I was in a big work cycle or I'm working on music, I work in 3 hour intervals. So I'll work for 3 hours and I will not work past 3 hours. And after that, there I will take a full break from all music, from all even podcasts, everything. I will not be taking in anything as anything I can stop from going into my ears. I will stop going into my ears because it's your nervous system's a wee bit tired. Your ears are definitely fatigued. Your brain's just not working right because the repetitiveness of making music. It's a repetitive sound, same sound for 4 bars. So. If I was not really tuned into that, the first thing I would do would be jump straight onto my phone and then probably start taking in more music and more music. And then by the time I know it, by the time it's going to bedtime, I've had no kind of rest from taking in loads of stuff like
Inputs.
inputs. That's exactly what that's the word I was looking for. By the time, if you think about it, when you go on your phone, as Tony said, when you look at the length of time you use your phone in a day, if you go on your phone early in the morning and first thing you do, start like sucking up like videos and information and different things, before you know it, it's 12 o'clock, before you know it's 3 o'clock, before you know it's 6 o'clock, and all you've done all day is doom scroll and take in just. Maybe you might get a nippet of very nice information from someone, but most of the time, like you're watching absolute shite, and then you wonder why you're fatigued. You wonder why your mental health could be playing up, and you wonder why, you wonder why. Oh, I've no time for this. I have no time for the gym. I've no time for tidying the house. I've no time for, spending time with my family because you've actually went into a cycle of every single time you get like. Any spare time, you're filling it with, pretty much with bullshit. You're filling it with your phone, and you're not replying to people. Like I have friends of mine who would be, they would spend a lot of time on TikTok, spend a lot of time on YouTube and stuff, but they've got so bad at replying to people that they've actually, caught themselves on and went, you know what? I see people's names coming up now, but I don't check out of the video. I just stay and keep what I'm watching, then I forget to get back to them. And that's when you know you've tipped over the edge of, you know, you're getting that quick dopamine hit and you're liking it and you're enjoying it. And then when you're lying in bed at night and you put away your phone, you're like, right, I'm going to sleep now. You have that wee bit of anxiety where you're sitting going, I need a fucking, just another wee scroll be grand. Or something pops into your head and you go, geez, I wonder about this. And everybody's probably a wee bit guilty of that in the past or guilty of it. But it's one of those things where
it's recharging.
It's recharging. And it's a, would it be a mental block, do you think?
I think it's just lack of actual self-awareness. It's like we know we do it, but it's like taking ownership and responsibility for it. So I think with the breaks, you need to be very clear on what fills your cup. So like I had Yara Fox do a mindset talk before. And he had that like anything he drinks or eats is orange on his breaks. So like an orange or because he had sport, or you take a walk. For me, I know exactly what fills my cup. So it's not scrolling. So my phone stays in my office. I go downstairs. I have a cup of tea or coffee with my family members. I'll have lunch and eat with them, or I'll take a walk with my dad and the dog. Like, they're very subtle things, but then when I come back, I'm fine. And I think having a cutoff time for your phone use and in the mornings is vital. So like, I won't wake up and just reach straight for my phone. I'll even take 20, 30 minutes, no social media, no shite. And if I'm training in the mornings, I'll not look till after I train, because it's just asking for triggers. Because you'll start comparing yourself to others, you'll see success, it'll fuck with your mindset for the day. And then at night, having like a wee 30, 45 minute cutoff prior to bed is really, really key. I think at least, I think I do usually over an hour, but it's just really nice to get at least 30, 45 minutes where you're not. And it sets you up for bed. And I think as well, too, like if you've never done it, like if you tell people you're taking a day without your phone and you don't have it on you, you realize that like after a day, nothing really happens. Like there's a book called Detox Minimalism. I don't know about 3-4 years ago, I think I'd done it. You just remove everything for a week. And I removed it from check-in to check, and I just told all clients, like, I'm going to take about five days off I took instead of the week. And you realize after like 5 days, you're like, fuck, I'm going to go on here and there's going to be so much. And you realize like very little changes in that time period. And then it makes you realize that how much time you're pumping in. I think from current studies, we're going to spend on average for most people somewhere between a fifth and a quarter of your life on your phone, and that's actually very scary because
Jesus,
nobody's gonna look back and be like, I need to scroll more. And the reason we're leaning on that is because we're all guilty of it. Like I'm guilty of it, you're guilty of it. Like nobody would like to share this game. And it's not about removing it; it's about small habits that help you improve and manage it. So, like the likes, as I said, download an Opal, which helps you procrastination. Because when I go into work and I turn on Opal, or I go into the gym and turn on Opal, I know what I'm there for. I know the reason it's on. It creates a barrier. So creating a barrier is a really good job as well to anything that helps you procrastinate. So if you notice you procrastinate because you're scrolling, put your phone outside your room, work on your laptop. If you work on social media, work through the laptop. Like I'll not do DMs through my Instagram, my phone. I'll do it through the laptop. Or Joe, you only go onto Facebook on the laptop. I'll remove the apps from my phone. Simple things like that really work well. And I think as well, I do break this down to people. If you are struggling with mental health, removing it will be massive or bringing it down. On top of that, one thing that really does help is, and I hate to say this, if you're not creating content and you're just consuming, realize that you're actually just feeding other people's wealth. Like there's only two types of people on social media. People are making money and people are losing it. Losing money is just you wasting your time.
Yeah.
Losing connection with other people, losing your own, it's attention market. And then procrastination comes in other forms as well. But I think just identifying that one, you're going to work best with time blocks. You're going to work best with breaks. And then also just making sure that you're clear on metrics and how you actually do the work. The main problem is sometimes people over optimize and they try and like, I could give you all the nootropics for your mental focus. I could give you all the prime morning routines. But like that can actually take away from you doing the work. The key is just making sure that you are time blocked. You know what you're doing. You know how long you're doing it. And you also remove any barrier that's going to stop you doing it. So you get your water, your cup of coffee. You get a timer on for 45 minutes. And you put the phone locked in a different room for 45 minutes. And you just work. Even if you get no work done, remember that. I want to really highlight this. This is, I think, what frustrates people a lot. If the first couple of times you do this, or you're doing this for months, and say you do a block of 45 minutes and 10, 15 minutes in, you're like, I'm getting nothing done. I'm getting nothing. You need to sit with it, because remember, your brain is like a car, It needs to go through gears. So it's going to need to go through first, second, third, fourth, fifth. So every time I bounce back into a work block, I actually purposely try and start with something that's very easy. Like I'll write an email for the day, or I'll do something that there's, it doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to like get the juices flowing. It just needs to get me a bit of momentum, a bit of movement. And for me, that's actually really, really vital and really, really key, because it allows you to go from first to second to third, and then you're in flow, and then 30, 45 minutes go. Whereas even if you get no work done, just tell yourself you're going to sit at the desk. You're building the repetition and the skill set of pushing through, and then over time, that's how you become better. You don't become better by reaching for your phone at every hurdle. That creates that reflex of anytime there's stress, there's frustration, you pick it up. Some of the things too, like I don't bring my phone to the dinner table. All these things help with productivity and procrastination. For me, productivity, just having clear focus and then clear breaks, and having things like where, for example, first 90 minutes of the day, I'll not have caffeine because it'll help with focus. Slowly wake up, ping my caffeine, then it'll allow me to get into hard work blocks. I have different smells and different caffeine and different setups for different work. So, for example, for creative work, I'll always have coffee. For the gym work, I'll always have like a Monster and energy drink, different smells, different tastes. It allows you to zone in. It's like different rituals and routines. And then if I'm working later in the day, I'll take something like Alpha GPC, which is cognitive enhancer, just like a wee routine, that and like a decaf coffee, just get back in the flow. So building these wee routines where you make a decaf coffee, you take a cognitive enhancer, you put your phone to one side, will allow you to do more. And even if you're trying to just bring your best self and you notice you're procrastinating, use your phone, some of the things like that, it's usually struggling to do the hard thing first too. So doing a light task for me works well. I know others that prefer to eat the frog and go all in and do the hardest task first. So it's just personal preference on that. But I think you need to stop beating yourself up and start creating barriers and routines and rituals that will help you move forward for it.
Yeah, well, that's, as you said, like self-awareness is the main thing.
Taking
I know
ownership.
there's probably people listening to this now that probably don't even know that they've got that sort of issue and they're procrastinating loads because
Dodge it.
they're probably not aware of it, and it is, yeah, and they're dodging it and they're dodging the idea. It always makes me think of the, if you're walking down the street and you're walking on your own, people don't like being on their own now, like even if you're in the safest area. So what do? They take out their phones and they're stuck in their phones when they're walking because they can't really walk and not feel like they have a
Yeah, they care
relationship with
about.
something or they're with something. So they take their phone out and watch stuff. And it's that in itself is a sign that there's maybe a bit of social anxiety, or maybe just maybe it's probably worse than that, and it's you have an addiction that you need to have, like feel like you have someone or something with you at all times. And even if it's, I mean, you know, everybody knows that one person who's flat out texting all the time or very clingy, and now when they're not texting, they feel like they have a community online or whatever because they're watching like a certain person's videos all the time, or they're watching, you know, they're just watching random videos all the time. But then, you know, it feels like there's a back and forth, or it feels like they've got that connection. So there is just that self-awareness that maybe the procrastination you have it needs addressed, not just in a point of you know, for your own, you know, advancement in your job or your work or your life or your relationship with your family and friends. Maybe it's just something that if you looked at it, it could be leading to other things, and could be leading to, you know, could be leading to a bit of anxiety in your life and different stuff. Because I would notice
Yeah.
that with friends of mine, like they couldn't walk down the street without either being on the phone to someone or but just scrolling. Same as when they're driving, they can't drive a journey without ringing someone,
Yeah, I've
or
seen
you
that
know,
myself.
because they don't like to be in the car on their own, even though you can listen to music, listen to podcasts, but they have that thing where they don't like to be in the car on their own. I would probably have been a wee bit guilty of that a few, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. But then weirdly, I came across podcasts and people won't get a phone call from me from my car anymore. But
Yeah, it depends. I just think that not beating yourself up is half the battle, and actually planning breaks and like not feeling guilty for watching Netflix or not feeling guilty watching for that if you've earned it. The problem is you end up feeling like a sack of shit whenever you've done nothing, and then you feel like you need a break because you haven't guarded your workspace, your priority time, or you when you're good at whatever you're needing to do, or even whenever you're with family. Like if you really look at like, am I is my habits of procrastination flowing over? Like even when I'm present with people, am I picking up my phone? Like
yeah.
that's one of the reasons like where I put in that barrier. If I don't bring my phone to the dinner table, it just sits over on the counter, it sits out of reach. And then I just noticed that even if they want to watch telly or one of them, somebody else wants to be in there, it's fine, but it's not about them, it's about me being there for me. And I think that's vital. I think that's really, really key. I think we don't need to kill the procrastination thing, but I think it's one of them things where most people know what they're doing and you're not looking to solve it in one day, but just small habits and routines and rituals that will what will help you move the needle forward for you. And you're gonna know that. You're gonna know what's too extreme. You're gonna know, but for most people, usually taking ownership, taking responsibility, realizing where you're at, and then putting a little small plan in place is key. And just that's really it's very straightforward.
Well,
The reason why much of the scroll is because that's usually the issue.
the other thing is to like if you there's nothing wrong with being on your phone and scroll if you can control it. There's nothing wrong with being on Netflix. There's nothing wrong on that. But it's when you start using the like the excuses of I have no time, as Tony said. Like the first thing he goes to is right, show me your screen time. But if you're using it, you're going, I have no excuses, but you're like, yeah, but I did watch five films this week.
Yeah, it's
You know.
mental.
That like you never like then there is, you know, I'm all for a day where you pick a day and you do a sofa day. Fuck, I love them like. But I'll never go there and going, oh shit, I had no time to get this thing done this week. Because I chose to take a full day out. So it's just like, you know, be real with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. If you're saying to yourself, I've no time to go to the gym, but yet you're watching five or six football matches a week. You know that there's time. There's time for a walk at least out of that. I'm not saying cut them all out, but
Easily time for
you know,
water, yeah.
there's easily, you know, if you're in the mode of like looking at other people and looking at other people's success and going, why them not me? Why is he in better shape than me? And then, but you're saying to yourself, oh, I have no time. But yet you can look at yourself and go, actually, you know what? I do watch a fair bit of Netflix. I do get stuck into a box set. That's when you kind of go to yourself, right, I shouldn't have excuses. I don't, you know, you're making excuses for yourself. Just if you really want someone, just change it. If you don't, all well and good. Keep watching the box sets. As I said, I'm a great man for a lazy day. Like today, I won't do a lot, but I'm DJing tonight. And I'm okay with that because I've kind of I haven't I won't say I've booked it in with myself, but I've kind of planned this for a lazy Easter Monday. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps up that question. We have a few
Yeah.
more questions. I'm gonna try to bait through a couple here. We've kind of done that. Unleashing your what would be like? So here's one we had sent in here about our main strategies for winning, meaning winning at life.
Oh, I'm the worst person to ask.
Which is it's a strange concept, but I would probably be I could probably answer Tony's
I'd be
for
interested to see
him.
what you'd say. I know exactly what I'd say.
So I would say Tony's main strategy for winning, his main thing is if Tony set Tony's a very true person. If he sets out to do something and sets the path out to do something, he will stick at that path and he will stick at that. No goal. If he has a goal, he will stick at it till he achieves it. So there's no, I would say, I won't say it's tunnel vision, but if the goal is X, Y, and Z by this, Tony will put his head down and go for it. And that is one of his main strengths that if there's a job that needs done or there's something needs done, he will turn over every stone to complete that task. And if he doesn't complete that task, he can sit happy knowing that he done everything possible that he could do to do that task. And that's one of his, like, I've watched him do it many a time. And I've watched him do it when things didn't work out. And he puts his hands up straight away and goes, yeah, probably just wasn't the best idea or wasn't executed right. Or I actually took on too much at that time.
Yeah, the Instagram following's a real one because you'd be quite in tune with that. Like I'd be saying to you about goals built in that, and like
Yeah.
full year where I pumped out content and I dropped 6,000 followers, like a full year of posting, and I just had to sit and reflect and review it every like 3 to 4 months and keep trying to lean in and go for it more. For me, it's a game of reps and time, and no matter what you're doing, it is just a case of you slowly outwork other people with consistency. But I do think one thing that most people, I notice this quite a lot with people, I'm mentoring quite a lot, I'm coaching quite a lot. The people who tend to move forward tend to not spin as many plates. It's the problem is people are trying to get in the best shape of their life while build a business, while trying to have the best relationship ever, while trying to be the best dad, the best Warren Buffett makes a really good analogy here. He says that, well, not even analogy, get life quotes. He says, write out your top 20 goals for the next year to five and circle three. That's all you're going to get done. If you try and do any more, you'll get none done. You have to pick three. He's like,
Yeah.
if you start picking more than three, you're personally able to. He's like, and then it needs to be a priority goal. Like, he that sucks. But like, the problem is, as Oliver Burke says, most people are too busy trying to be good at everything rather than picking what they're going to suck at. Like, I picked a long time ago, my social life was going to suck for a couple of years because of how much I was pushing coaching business. So I was like, right, that's the trade-off. I was like, my Saturdays and Sundays are going to be my Saturday and Friday night, Saturday's gone for socializing because I need the business to be built. That is a shit trade-off, but it's being smart because that's the trade-off. And the problem is, whenever you're doing that trade-off, it's very difficult, especially at the start, because you're giving up and you're getting nothing. You've no idea if it's going to pay off. And that is the hardest part. Whereas now I know if I give up a Friday, Saturday, Sunday to make content or lean in, it's paying off now. So it's easy to see the just reward. But the problem is at the start, when you're putting in all this work, you're prioritizing it. You're not going out your whatever your goals are, whatever you're picking, and you've got no sign that it's working. If anything, it feels like you're just wasting time. That's the period that most people don't get through. It's like when you're dieting and you can't see your abs and you're like, I'm not losing weight, nothing's happening. That's the point when most people give up, and that's the point when most people don't win. And that's why it's because when shit hits the fan and it's all going wrong, like right now I'm growing really nicely on Instagram, it'll stall out. It always does. And the difference is when people stall out, they panic, that is when most people stop, and that's when most people don't win. It's whatever gets difficult are the only ones that counts. And for me, that's why I highlight, for me, it's as you said, picking a goal. I'm putting the head down and just reps upon reps in any area, whether it's the gym, whether it's content, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, put in the shift in that one area. And you will notice over time that you do win more often because you can't win. You cannot lose if you don't quit. So, like,
Yeah.
I lost it. So my follow on Instagram went,
600 now.
yeah, 613, which is mental.
Deadly.
It went 900 followers in total. In years, this is 900, 1800, 5.3, 18.3, 33.3, 116, 110. So I dropped. So out of all them 7 years, I doubled or tripled. 6 years, I doubled or tripled. And then I actually dropped. I leaned in more than ever. I hired a videographer and I actually lost 6,000 followers that year and put in more time, which was so frustrating. And then the following year, well, that was 9 to 10 months. And then the following year, now I went from 110 to 450, and then now I'm so far or 400, I think it was. It was 400, and now I'm at 600, or yeah, 600. So, I'm not doubled yet, but like I'm on track to double for the mark of the year. And the thing is, there was a year there where I actually dropped, and a lot of people fall out of love with it, whereas I did fall completely out of love with it. But the go you're gonna fall in a lot out of the process all the time. Like, I don't love every gym session. I don't love every piece of content. I don't love every podcast. It's not about that. It's about trying to enjoy what you can of it, and realizing that it's who you become and who you build in the process is more important. And that sounds very cheesy, but as I look back, whenever I achieve a goal, I never get like a high from it. I never get like a real win from it. I always enjoy more of it. It's like, as I've said before, the goal isn't to get married. The goal is to enjoy the relationship, get married, and continue to enjoy the relationship. Whereas
Yeah.
if the goal was to get married, you get a real diet. Like, a lot of people get wedding blues, they won't admit it because it's been such a big build-up. And the thing is, it's the same as like if you achieve a goal, a photo shoot, a bodybuilding show, an income goal, you get an initial buzz, and then I enjoyed the chase more. And that's why
Yeah.
I enjoy, and I try, and I put up the post or whatever, hit 600. 600 is not my goal. The mill is on Instagram, and it's one of them things where, as I said, I'm going to celebrate the whole way. Like every 3, 4, 5 thousand, every thousand, every 10,000. Like, I do small celebrations. It's not always out for meals, it's not always this. But like, if you're near me and you know me, you'll be giving me a fist bump every time I hit a K up. Or you'll notice that, like, I'll go out for a meal every 10,000. It's trying to just enjoy each little thing and then just take it really in that it's all part of the process. And for me, if you can enjoy the process of it as much, then the rest of it becomes easy because you're not outcome focused. The problem is most people don't enjoy training, they don't enjoy that, and they're doing it for the abs, which is okay. But over time, the person who like loves walking will walk further than the person that hates it. Do you know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
common sense. So it's just trying to really get clear on that. And for me, it's the reps. If you're really looking to win in any area of your life, it's just if it's against somebody else, you have to just do more reps in that area to become better. And they might be more talented, better skilled. Every rep of theirs might count for three of yours. Then you just have to do four times the work until you become so good that your one rep counts as four of theirs. That's the way that shifts. Like me making one video now has way more weight than it did 5 years ago, and it's just the reps.
Yeah, it's the hunger too, I think, a lot of the time. As you said, it's,
I think an
you know,
insecurity drove mine a lot at the start.
well, when we first started this podcast, many followers were you on? 9,000, 8,000?
Probably was 5,300.
And then we're coming up, we're about 3 weeks off 4 years, 2 weeks off 4 years. And that's like, that just goes to show for anybody who's listening to this. If you want something and you work towards something and you consistently do it, no matter the setbacks, no matter what life throws at you, no matter the hurdles, no matter where you are location wise, you know, if you don't make your excuses and just bear down and go for it, you know, things can happen. It's not a guarantee in any shape or form. You know, there's a lot of hard work, but there's also a lot of intelligence, when a lot of like smartness went into Tony's strategies and his content and whatever. So it's not like someone listening to this going now, oh, I'll just post every day for 3 years and I'll get what he's got. It doesn't work like that. There is levels to everything everybody does. It's the same as with myself and DJ, and like people see the nice things now, but people don't remember the shit gigs. They don't remember like the country bars and the fucking 18th birthdays and the function rooms and you know, they don't remember all that stuff. Whereas, and they don't actually, you know what, they don't even see the stuff now. Like they don't see the driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning on your own or whatever, and then going to bed and then having to get up the next day at a decent hour. You know, they don't see the hard things, as same as with Tony. They don't see what I text Tony like last week or the week before, we were talking about someone, and he was sitting there, I think it might have been a Sunday, it was an evening anyway, and he was like writing down ideas for videos. But people don't see that. Like people, you see the end goal and you see the end product, but you don't see like this in a way, the scripts, the behind the scenes, the outtakes, the amount of time. You see a 40-second video, that 40-second video could have been 5 minutes, or it could have been 40 seconds. You know, you don't, people, you see the end goal and you see the end product and you see the wins, but you don't see the many, you know, the many stumbles before the wins. I don't like calling them failure, because it's only failures if you quit. You know, it's just, we're all just practicing through life. But when it comes, like I had a big gig last night, Easter Sunday in Secrets, and I got chatting to a young DJ afterwards, and he was like, oh, like I can't wait to be doing stuff like this. And I kind of said to him, oh, no, we were talking about where he's at, and he was playing around Cookstown and stuff, doing stuff. I was just like, start enjoying that phase now, because you know, this is where you're going to learn. Once you get to like when more people are watching you, it's harder to learn them, because you know, people, 50% of the people want to see you succeed, 50% of the people don't. And that's just the sad reality of life, and jealousy and different things. But when you're young and up and coming, pay everybody wants. It's like Tony would have seen a switch and a shift in how people treated him, the kind of more online success he would have had. And I don't even know if this is for sure, because we don't talk about stuff like this, but you know, people, everybody, you would hope that everybody wants to see you do well, but the sad reality is everybody doesn't want to see you do well, because then that shines a light on their shortcomings. And that's the truth. Like I get people coming up to me all the time going, oh, how did you get that gig, or why did they book you? I'm like, I don't know. Like I don't know. Like I don't know why they booked me. You need to ask them. But the way they're saying it is they know that annoys them, because it's not them. And they need to get their head around it. And they don't, you know, most of the time the people don't mean nothing by it. But when you see someone that's probably on your same trajectory doing better, if it was me, I take that as fuel and it drives me on. But some people take it as, why him and not me? And that's one of the things that probably will hold you back in life, because you think about things differently like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people will always want to see you do well, but they'll never admit that they don't want to see you do better than them. Like, that's just straightforward. Like, it's comparison.
Like, people want you to do a certain level of good, but not too good, because if you do too good, that's going to start annoying me. Whereas I'm the opposite. I love to see people do well, because then that'll spark something in me to go, you know what? There's another level that's going to kick on here, or going to, no. Is that part, like, when I came through in DJing, there was nobody in OMA doing a full time. Like, there was no, like, OMA's music people were country stars and show band singers. Like, there was nobody making a living from music from my area, really, except for maybe Dominic Kirwan or a big country person like that. So nobody showed me the path. The path for a guy from OMA to play all around the world didn't exist. So at a stage, it felt like I was a dreamer. No, it did feel like I was an absolute dreamer, just like, but then that's what I wanted. I wanted to, like, try and do these things. When I got the first idea, maybe I could play an Ibiza. I remember kind of toying with the idea and saying it to a guy. And thankfully, the person I said it to was a wee bit of a dreamer too. And he was like, "I, why not?" He goes, "Half the DJs that we're bringing over for maybe if you're playing with, you're wiping the floor with. So why can't it be you?" And that kind of then that built that kind of idea in my head to go for it. But if someone hasn't, like, plowed, there always has to be the first person to plow the path. Somebody has to dig it out. Somebody has to put in the foundations.
Sort of pinch hole thing.
Fortunately for me, there was no person, but I can be that person for people in my area. Like, there's no reason the rural guy can't mix it on the big stage on in any shape or form. You know, to look at Tony's doing now, like, he's probably one of the most recognizable names and faces in the fitness industry in Ireland, if not the most recognizable. And the weird thing is, the two most recognizable is probably him and Sean Casey. And it's not a coincidence that the two fellas are friends. The two boys are on the same kind of wavelength when it comes to a lot of things. They would bounce off each other. That's not a coincidence. You know, when we say stuff like surround yourself with the right people, that is pretty much, like the proof is in the pudding there. And even some of, like, the people Tony's mentoring, a lot of them are having a lot of success. That is not a coincidence.
No, it's very much like who you surround yourself. Like, even me and Daniel were out here yesterday, and, like, I was like, oh, he was asked, we were talking about back forth content, and it's even just me spending time giving him a hand, thinking through things, and vice versa. It's like, it's very hard to get somebody else that supports you or wants you to win, but it's also, you're not going to get that naturally. Like, me and these individuals or anybody around me, you don't get that. Like, you don't have this environment normally. You only get it as you go up. So the way it works is, as I've highlighted before, whenever you want to learn something, and I say this all the time, it's like when I want to learn property, you can't network your way into that because you've no real value or worth in it. So until you have something, you have to pay to learn. That's how I paid with my memberships. It's how I paid anybody to learn coaching, because until you have a skill that you can trade or your values there, you have to pay to learn, and then over time you don't. But no, I think that, as you said, it's key. Like, don't get me wrong, environment does dictate growth to an extent, but you dictate your environment and what you have, you can optimize around you. But I think it's an interesting concept with the whole thing around it, because, like, for example, even one thing I p think people get caught up in the fitness space is that me and Sean, for example, have very different opinions on, like, fitness in general now. But it doesn't mean we dislike each other. Like, for example, his is very much more like a health and don't worry about the way you look and a more relaxed attitude. Whereas, don't get me wrong, I am into, like, enjoying Easter, and I said, have a fucking Easter egg. But I'm also very much like, I don't want to look like, or I want to look good. I want abs. I want the muscle. I want to feel strong. I want to chase goals. Like, I'm very much into that. And that's what brings me joy. So the thing is, it's not one size fits. Some people attach their identities to that, and then they end up resenting other individuals within the industry, or that, I don't know if it'd be one of the more recognizable. It's hard to call, because, like, my impressions are massive. It's my content's very triggering, so I'm not meant to be followed by as many. So, like, I maybe get like 4, 5, 6 million impressions a month. So, like, that's how many people are seeing me over last summer. There's 30 million some months, and it's not meant that you're meant to follow me. You're only meant to follow me if you know I can help. That's the whole point why my content's out there. Like, I don't need
like, out of the 3 million people that see me, I don't need 3 million people following me. I just need whoever I'm going to be able to actually help through having a laugh, having a joke, and giving straightforward is the key. And for me, when you become, as I said, that focused on the outcome, I need this, and that's not what it's about. It's enjoying the small wins, and I think that is the absolute most vital thing. A lot of people get messed up, and when if you want to really win long term, you have to create metrics where and thought processes where you don't lose out on the work. You're doing it for a long time period. So picking the right amount of goals, focusing on what's really going to move the needle, and then even if you and making sure that the goal is not just the be all end all. The goal is about getting you there, but you're driving in the right direction, but you're enjoying the drive. Like I really highlight that all the time. It's like a really good example. This is, I remember going. I always use this analogy, and it's weird because it just relates back home. I always wanted to see the Statue of Liberty. I always really wanted to see it, right? And I really enjoyed the flight to New York. I was buzzing for it. I enjoyed the day. I remember very clearly going like and getting a pastrami bagel before it. I remember going down. I remember getting the boat out, taking this unbelievable photo from the I think it's Staten Ferry or Staten,
Staten Island Ferry.
Staten Ferry. I remember taking this unbelievable photo of the back of the boat, and you could see all New York. It was so cool. You could see the Statue of Liberty from afar. I was like, this is epic. And see, when I got to the Statue of Liberty, I was like, oh, this is shit. There's nothing doing it. You couldn't really get a good photo of it. But I got really good photos that full day in New York. I got really good energy of people. I enjoyed the journey, I enjoyed the drive, I enjoyed all of it. And then it was sort of like, not a letdown, but I was like, you couldn't even really get close to it. You couldn't go near it. And I always remember being like, that reminds me, because I enjoyed that whole process so much that I actually didn't care at all. And I remember when our Shauna was going to New York, I was like, you'll really enjoy the Statue of Liberty, but you'll enjoy getting there and seeing the views and the drive and the ferry, you know. But I was like, it itself is a bit shit. And she's like, well, what the fuck's the point in going? And I was like, it's just the process for me of that day reminds me of the entire goal. Like every time I hit a goal, it's like I celebrate it for a couple of sec and it's back in. So if you're spending 99% of your life chasing the goal, why don't you enjoy that rather than the 1%? And for me, when you become so input focused, the rest just becomes so enjoyable. And that's why, like, if you learn to love the work, then it's so good. And I think it's the Alex Ramosi quote where we like the best way, the work works on us more than we work on it. And that's what it's about. It's who you change. And I think that outlines a massive point. That's in every area. It's not about building the best relationship. It's who you become in that process of working on yourself to make the relationship better is more important. And then that makes the relationship thrive. Or Joe, how you transform your body, it's not about the abs, it's about the hard work and the discipline you have that transfers into your job, into your marriage, into your. It's all these small things that you don't realize, and that's what's the most important is it's what the work does on you. Whenever you are feeling like quitting and you don't quit, that builds your character. And if you do quit or you do struggle, it's because the thought process is usually wrong around the goal. It's not meant to be easy. It's not meant to be blissful. It's meant to be really fucking tough in everything you do. And that's the beauty about it. If you can enjoy that, then you realistically are letting the hard times make you and you enjoy them. And that's what I sort of thrive on now. And I think if you can get that thought process right, you'll never really lose anyway, regardless of the outcome. And that's actually one of the main keys. So
Yes, it's like when millionaires go bankrupt, they normally get back there because they've been to the top of the mountain. They remember how to do it. They've done the hard yards, so then they just have to remember, I'll just go and do this again. Like it's no coincidence that a lot of millionaires and billionaires all have massive losses at times. But they all get back there because they've learned the path and they know the path. They've done the
no one took
hard
their
work.
skills.
Exactly.
No one took their minds. No, we can. Well, this has been an early podcast for me. This is 6:46 a.m. now. I got up at 5 to do this.
In
So
Austin, Texas, boy.
we're in Austin. Got cowboy hats yesterday and all. Hilarious.
Who's out there with you?
Me and Daniel's out here. We were fucking pure rogue yesterday. It was hilarious, mate. You would have got a good laugh.
Are you gonna go to Alpha Land?
I don't
Is
know.
it?
It's in Houston. Weighing it
Oh,
up.
was it in Houston? Oh, I
It's
didn't
in
even
Houston.
know that.
Originally, we were going to go to Houston. Daniel quite wanted to go to Austin, so I was like, I'm easy enough. I don't really give a fuck.
I hear half the world's moved to, like, that's where Joe Rogan
Yeah,
also moved to.
that's why we were like, we're looking at Joe Rogan's comedy club. We're looking at doing a rodeo. We're looking at maybe driving up to San Antonio to see the Spurs play.
Class.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Class.
We'll just see how it goes. We're debating. We
So
have,
are we going to see you in a cowboy hat?
yeah, absolutely. There's
And
tons of
boots?
Oh, mate, what do you say? It's mental. I don't know. Yesterday, I just need to. Yeah, guys, we went rogue, and this is only the start, so it's going to get fucking way heavier.
I can't wait. Can't
Oh, man, the comedy's hilarious,
wait.
right? I'll leave that as the enticement. We'll do a Texas breakdown next week because I'll be here a week.
Right. Guys, as always, rate, review, share. Any questions, hit us up. Hit up my socials or hit up Tony's socials or hit up the Muscle Hustle podcast on Instagram. Send us in your questions and we'll hopefully have, we'll probably get, end up having, we need to do something for the birthday, the big 4 years. 4 years of sitting looking at each other on Zoom once a week.
Beautiful.
But yeah, cheers to you guys and we'll catch you next time.
Big love. See you. Bye.